Well, good morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. We have now, this is going to be part 8 of this wonderful, impassioned epistle from the Apostle Paul to his children, the church at Galatia, to God's children, the church, in fact, today. We actually started this teaching before we got specific into entitling it Paul's Impassioned Letter to the Church Today, the Book of Galatians. We've been at this a long time. I hope you're not growing weary of hearing this message. I'm not getting wearied in delivering it. The reason being, it is constant warfare. We, as the Church of Jesus Christ, find ourselves in. It is weekly. It is daily. It is hourly. And Paul, with passion, is attempting to explain the grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who, that is Jesus, gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. And he is, he is without equivocation drawing the line. The Maginot line, if you will, one that should not be crossed, between the law and grace, between the law and faith, between works and the gospel, between the flesh and the spirit. I was, fortunately, because it gives me fodder, if you will, for the teaching. A guy attempting to describe Christianity about changing the human spirit. Baloney! It's not changing our human spirit. It is a new creation. That's what Christianity is, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Last week, hopefully we made the point that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse over us. We pick up now in the 14th verse of the 3rd chapter. Paul is going to now add to this argument. He's going to add to this epistle of caring, not only for the church in Galatia, but for the church today. Having become a curse over us, that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He talks to him now not as a father, but as brothers, part of the family. He says, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's testament, and we have carried that word into our law today, being the last will and testament, being a man's testament, yet confirmed no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. That's the only time that in this human condition we can be like God. We get the final word about what we leave and to whom we leave it to. Now, you know, in this crazy world today, I guess everything can be challenged, because it is. But the premise is still true. If it's confirmed, no man disannulleth. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not to seeds as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, and Paul now culminates and brings together all that is contained in that statement and says, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, listen, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. Think on that. For if the inheritance be of the law, it's no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise, 430 years before the law. King James reads in the 19th verse, wherefore then serveth the law? The original would say, why then the law? Doesn't talk anything about servicing. This is added by the translators. The next portion of verse 19. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions. Till, circle that word in your Bibles, till the seed, Christ, should come to whom the promise was made. Listen. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. You know, people read right past that. You know what Paul is saying here? He's saying the law, which came 430 years after the promise, not by God was it given, but by angels. And put into the hand of a mediator. Paul is saying the law was given by angels into the hands of Moses. But now he goes on to say, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. He's trying to put the law in its place. He's trying to open our minds and our understanding to put the law in its place. He goes on to say, is the law against the promise of God? Promises of God? He says, God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have come by the law. Going back, chapter 2, verse 21, Paul says, I do not disannul the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Leviticus 18:5 says, of anyone who could perform the law personally, perfectly, and perpetually, he shall live. But the law was given because of transgressions. The purpose of the law was to drive us to Christ. Let's go, let's read on. But the scripture has concluded all under sin. I was looking at an interlinear today, and it would have us understand, but the scripture has concluded all imprisoned by sin. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that faith. The grammar is so important here. It says that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ. The words are pisteos Jesu Christu, all in the genitive case. That's talking about the faith generated by Christ Jesus himself. Is given. to the fading ones. Paul's going to go back. He says, but before the faith, the Greek has a definite article, before the faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Because of this, the law, Paul now puts the law in another position. He calls it a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, which is what I just said a moment ago, that we might be righteousified by the faith, definite article. What faith? The faith of Jesus Christ, the faith Christ generated. That we might be righteousified by faith. Okay, now Paul has given a sequence. The promise, 430 years before the law. But we were kept under the law until faith was revealed. But after, now, that the faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. We're not imprisoned under sin. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. I'm stopping because I'm astonished by the doctrine of God. It stops me in my place. I hope it stops you in your place. And though we see through a glass darkly, by His Spirit, we are impressed. Listen to what it says. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We're not talking about the, you know, ordinance of baptism. We're talking about the effect of faith. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. As many as of you who have come into this new life, into Christ, have put on Christ. Paul's saying, God now sees those baptized into Christ as His dearly beloved Son. And he's attempting to communicate that which is not seen, but promised of God nonetheless. And he says this, put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male or female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And he concludes, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, this week I had a tour in the museum, and I make an attempt, and with the help of God's Spirit, to remind myself of this promise, that as thy day, so shall thy strength be. And the eternal God shall be my refuge, and underneath all are the everlasting arms. The eternal God, that is the God of the forefront, that is God's on the corner before we get there. I didn't know I was going to have a tour. Something moved me, and I found myself in the 138th Psalm, which I hadn't been in for a while. In that second verse, it claims that God has magnified his word above his name. That means what God says is more important to him than his name. And we by his word of promise, those of us, in spite of circumstance, who continue faithing, and that continuing condition to which God adds the faith of Jesus Christ, that 23rd verse of Romans 3, even a righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all the faithing ones. In the Semitic translations, that is Arabic, Aramaic, Syriac, and any others, it would say, even a righteousness of God, which is by the amen of Jesus Christ, that is, which is by the no doubt in Jesus Christ. Jesus had no doubt that God would do what he said he would do, even though he had to go through what he did, leading up to and including on Calvary. And we have the story, the truth of what happened. God raised Christ from the dead. The promise of God is that same Spirit of God which raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken our mortal bodies as we continue in the promises of God. For we be Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. By faith, Paul says, by faith, God says, by faith, I say, all you who have been baptized into Christ, understand that you have put on Christ, and he has delivered us from this present evil world. Glory to God forever. Glory to Jesus Christ forever. And be thankful for his word, for he has magnified it above his very name. Continue in faith this week, and God willing, we'll be back next week at the God School.